I'm going to share on the life of Joseph. So can we open our Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 41, verse 39. So I'm sure we all have dreams, or have had a dream, or God has spoken to you, given you a promise. This is what I'm going to be sharing on. The title of my message today is Holding On to the Promise. So Genesis 41, verse 39 says, "Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne, I'll be greater than you.' So Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt.' Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes and fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck." Then we're just going to skip to chapter 42, and I'm going to read from verse 6, and it says, "Now Joseph was a governor of the land, the one who sold grain to all his people. So when Joseph's brothers arrived, they bowed down to him with their faces to the ground." So from the scriptures I just read, we see Joseph's dream being fulfilled. We see a promise that had been given to Joseph some time ago being fulfilled. In chapter 42, we see his brothers coming to bow down to him. Joseph is a man that's been placed in a position of authority. He's been made governor in a foreign land. But before all this happened, I am going to take you back to where this began. I know most of us know the story of Joseph, but I just want to take you on a journey, and hopefully maybe we can relate to it in our lives, wherever we may be, or things that we may encounter in the future. So I'm going to take us back to Genesis 37. Genesis 37 from verse 2, which says, this is the account of Jacob. "Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers and the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made a rich ornament robe for him. When his brothers saw that the father loved him more than any of them, they hated him, and they could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field, when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it.' His brothers said to him, 'Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?' And they hated him all the more because of this dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. 'Listen,' he said, 'I had another dream, and this time the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me.' When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, 'What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?' His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind." So here we're seeing Joseph, a young man of 17. The scriptures that I read earlier, chapter 41 and 42, he was now a man of 30. So there was 13 years between all the things that I'm going to share with you today. But Joseph and his brothers were shepherds. They would go and tend the sheep and come back. But Joseph was loved by his father more than all the other brothers. So he would come back and tell his father what his brothers were doing. And I'm sure they were not too happy about him telling on them. But what made things worse was that Joseph's father, Jacob, was open about showing his love for his son. Out of 12 children, he made a robe for one. So Jacob gave his son Joseph a coat of many colors. Someone asked me earlier, "Brother, why are you bringing a blanket?" It's not a blanket. It's a coat of many colors. My mom actually made it for me. But Jacob gives his son a coat of many colors. Now, I know it's probably better than the one they actually talk about, right? So Jacob gives his son Joseph a coat of many colors. Now, scholars will debate that it was not a coat of many colors. It was just a white robe that was so white, it reflected colors. Some would say it was just a long robe that had long sleeves. But I believe it's a coat of many colors, because we also see the same coat being mentioned in 2 Samuel chapter 13. Tamar, who was Absalom's sister, she wore the same robe, the coat. So looking at it, I felt like the coat really represented royalty. There was something significant about it. There's something that made one feel important, because it was worn by the king's daughters, the king's virgin daughters. So Joseph gets one of those coats. Now his brothers hate him even more. Why does he get to get the coat? But one thing led to another. Joseph, I assume one morning, I like visual aids. I'm a visual learner. So I tend to use this visual aids and it helps me. I hope it can help the visual learner today. But I picture Joseph, after he got his robe, waking up in the morning after a dream. God has spoken to him. God has given him a revelation that your sheep stood up and your brothers bowed down to you. So I see Joseph waking up in the morning and so excited, walking into the living room, and he's like, "Brothers, I had a dream. And in this dream, you guys were bowing down to me." And I'm sure at this time he's thinking that the brothers are going to bow down to him. But it does not happen that way. They hate him even more. And I picture him coming the next day. And this time he walks into the living room and his family, "I had another dream. This time the sun, the moon, and 11 stars were bowing down to me." And I'm sure at this time he's thinking, second dream, that has to be a confirmation. God has spoken. This is a confirmation. It's definitely going to happen. But it does not happen. He's hated even more. I know we have been given dreams. And I know God has spoken to us. I know there is those moments where we feel God has given you a word, but it is not taking place. It's just not happening. Instead, looks like you're facing persecution. You're facing a hard time. God has a promise. And when he has a promise, he fulfills his promises. We see him later on. Joseph is sent by his father to go see his brothers who are tending the sheep.
And as he goes to see his brothers, they see him from a distance. Surely if you're wearing a robe with so many colors, people are bound to see you from a distance. So they see him from a distance and they say, oh, here comes the dreamer. The dreamer's coming. In the Hebrew, what they were actually saying, the phrase meant, here comes the master of dreams. He's an expert in dreaming. And surely they were probably thinking that's all he's good at, dreaming. But we're going to kill him today. So they thought of killing him. But thank God he was not killed. They threw him into a pit, a dry pit. Then after that, they decided to sell him to the Ishmaelites. But before they sold him, they stripped him of his garment. They stripped him of the coat of many colors. The coat for him was probably his identity at this time. He was probably thinking, as long as I have the coat, I am going to be the ruler in our household. Because I have the royal robe already. So they just gotta submit. But things were not happening that way. The shepherd has been turned from a shepherd to a slave. I don't know if you can relate to that. God has spoken, but the promise is not just coming to pass. Instead, it looks like things are going in a totally opposite direction. It seems like those promises are not going to come to pass. Because he's been promised to be a ruler, but now he's become a slave, which is the same for us at times. We feel that God has spoken into our lives. He's given us a promise, but those promises are not coming to pass. Instead, we go through hard and difficult times. We go through situations that we do not understand why we are going through. And we're wondering where God is. But James 1, 2 reminds us that we should consider it pure joy when we face trials of many kinds. Because the testing of our faith produces perseverance. And perseverance will help us to mature. And this is my encouragement to you today. Let us persevere in life. We're going to walk a journey where things are going to take place. We know there is a promise at hand, but trials and tribulations are going to come. As the children of God, trials and tribulations at some point are going to come. But let's be joyful in the hope that we stand, in the hope of Jesus Christ. Joseph was led to Egypt where he was sold to Potiphar. And when he was in Potiphar's house, we read chapter 39, verse 2. It tells us that God was with Joseph. This means that through everything, God was with him. There was never a time that he left him. Through everything that he faced, God was with him. So Potiphar's house was blessed. Things just started working out well. Even Potiphar himself realized that things all of a sudden were just going so well since this guy came in, the slave. At this point, he was no longer a slave. Started as a shepherd, became a slave, now a servant. This is the same guy who's meant to be ruling, but he's serving. Serving and honoring God to all to the capacity that he could. So as he's there serving in the house, the enemy used Potiphar's wife to try to lure him into sin. But Joseph ran. He ran for his life. He ran away from sin. One thing that we should be doing in our time and in our generation now, with so much that is happening, at times we just need to run away. We just need to run from the things of the world. The things that are happening right now, it's a fight. And there is just times where we're going to have to run, not to stick around. But as he was running out, Potiphar's wife held onto his coat. At this time, he had been given another coat. So this guy looks like he specializes in coats. First, his coat of many colors. Now he had been made like a supervisor in Potiphar's house, so he got another coat. So he's thinking, oh, probably maybe we have arrived. We have arrived. Now I can be the ruler in Potiphar's house. But he had to run out of the house and left the same coat. So the first time he was stripped of his coat by his brothers. Now he's being stripped of his coat by the enemies. Just when he thought that he was in a comfortable place, things are beginning to look bad. Have you ever felt like you've gone through a hard time? And things look like they're starting to settle down. Things look like they're happening now. Then all of a sudden, things change again. And you were thinking, Lord, you saw me through that. That's it. Then all of a sudden, something else happens. This can be our journey of faith as believers. This can be our journey. Where at times the enemy will come and he will try to steal our joy. He'll try to come and steal from us. He'll come and try to hold us back. But one thing we know is that it says God was with Joseph. He was sent to prison. And as he gets to prison, guess what happens? He finds favor in prison. And now he's told, you are now running the prison. Imagine another cellmate is being told, now you're in control, brother. The favor of the Lord. And again, in chapter 39, verse 9, we see that it says that God was with Joseph. Never left him. Never forsook him. But stayed with him through it all. God is with us. God is with you today. If you have been going through things that you felt like God has deserted you, he is not. He is walking with you through it all. He is guiding you through everything. And at times he uses the things that the enemy throws at us to get us where he wants us to be. To get us to that place that he promised us to get to. Because at times by ourselves, we probably might not even get there or think that we have the capability to get there. So in prison, the master dreamer interprets a dream, two dreams to a baker and a cupbearer. And the cupbearer was restored to his position in the palace. The baker was hanged. But when he interpreted the dream to this cupbearer, he told him, when you're in the palace, remember me. 2 years passed. This cupbearer was in the palace, forgot about the prison, enjoying himself. But God has a way of making sure that his plans and his purpose are fulfilled. We don't have to go and try push things and continue just as if, you know, we're trying to push God or jab God. God always has a way of making things happen in our lives. He always has a way of making the plans and the purpose that he has for you and I come to pass. We just need to honor him and trust in what he is doing. I remember at Summit, there was one teacher that gave us an outline of Joseph. For those from Summit, shout out to my Summit friends. I'm sure you remember they gave us an outline, Pastor Tim giving us an outline that say Joseph in the pit, Joseph in Potiphar's house, Joseph in prison, and Joseph in the palace. And all those represented something. That's has stuck with me. And in our journey of life, we are going to encounter all these things. The pit represented the dry places. There's times we're going to go through dryness. Potiphar's house represented times of trial. We're going to be tried in our lives, especially in our time and the generation that we're living in now. Trials are there. Trials are hard, coming every day. But as children of the light, we need to run. Run for our lives. The prison represented a place where he was being trained. He was being trained. Pastor Teresa called it the testing, the trial, and the training that builds us to be people of trust. These are some of the things that I've held on to since I left Summit. But in the life of Joseph, we see that eventually God speaks to Pharaoh in a dream. And the funny thing, there's only one person that could interpret that dream. It had to be the master dreamer. God had been orchestrating everything to work accordingly for him. God uses even those difficult times that we go through to fulfill what he has spoken. We start off here with the purpose that God has spoken, with a dream, a promise, and we have to get to the palace, which is a journey that has bumpy roads, that is difficult times, that is tears and sorrows and everything. But what I like is God is faithful. He has always been faithful. He has always been faithful to keep his promises. He's a covenant-keeping God. There is never a time that he's going to go back on his promises. And I know there is some of us that have graduated from Summit, and we might be thinking, what is happening or what is next? God knows where he took you from, and he knows where he's taking you. Do not worry. Do not be distressed. Do not think that he's forgotten you. For he is never going to forget his own children. Never is he going to forget his own children. So we get to the part where the scriptures I read earlier, Joseph is placed in that position of authority. But the most important thing that I like about this story, all these things happened, and yes, Joseph was honored. Joseph was placed in a position of authority as the governor of Egypt. But what was one of the main reasons all this happened? I am just going to read from Genesis 50, verse 18. And he says, his brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. This is when, after Jacob had died, and now they feared that Joseph, he had revealed himself to his brothers that he was the governor, and he had moved his family now to Egypt, but the father died. So the brothers thought that he was going to maybe kill them or something. So verse 18, it says, his brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. I'm in the place of God. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." The saving of many lives. The dream that Pharaoh had, Joseph interpreted it. It was going to be a famine. So they decided to stock up food. So this is through Joseph, the revelation that God has given him, that many people were now being saved. Imagine there was a famine that was so bad. People had to travel as far as Canaan. His brothers had to travel from Canaan to Egypt. That was about roughly over 200 miles. I drove about 200 miles. It took me 4 hours. These guys had to walk with their donkeys and all that stuff. Joseph had become a person of influence to as far as 200 miles. Joseph's ministry was now ministering to people that were 200 miles away. This was the most important thing for me when I read this scripture. I saw how God had preserved Joseph from the time he gave him the promise to the time he had to go and sit in the palace and be a ruler, where the fulfillment of all that God had spoken took place. But not only for him. We praise God, God honored him. But it was not only for him. There were many people that came to Egypt to get food. There were many people that were relying on survival through the ministry of Joseph. And what am I saying? You and I, as children of God, we have something for people that are out there. God wants us to walk this journey and stand firm and stand strong in our callings, to be able to be people of influence in our generation, to those that are out there, those that do not know him, those that are lost. This is why God is taking you to where you're going. When you get there, don't forget why God has brought you that far. It is for you to be a person of influence to those that do not know you. Let that light that is within you shine in this dark world. You and I need to go and let that light shine in this dark world. If you and I don't stand, imagine if Joseph had not stood strong. How many people could have starved and died of hunger? You and I, in our generation today, we also have a purpose. We have a purpose. And God has given us a great commission to go out and share the gospel of Jesus. But if we're going to go out and stand out there, we have to fight our battles and overcome those trials and tribulations that we're going to face. The hardest thing is when things get difficult. This is when the enemy wants to come. This is when he wants to come and tell you. He's coming at that point where you're weak, where you got a lot of questions, wondering if God is not there, if God is not with you. That's where he wants to come and tell you to give up. Forget it. It was just a dream. It was not a promise. God never spoke to you. It's never going to happen. But we need to stand. My brothers and sisters, we need to stand. It is a time where we need to stand firm in the word of God. We need to stand in the promises that have been given to us. The promises that have been given in the Word of God. They are real and they are true. And they will come to pass. Jesus is our only hope. He is our only hope. And let's not be discouraged. Let's continue to stand in the hope, which is Jesus Christ. This is my encouragement to you today. The promise will come to pass because Jesus is faithful and he is true to his word. Stand strong. Keep seeking him. Trials and tribulations will come and they will go. But you will be in that place where you boldly proclaim the goodness of God. Father, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you for you are good. Lord Jesus, I pray for my brothers and my sisters today, God. I pray that you may strengthen us, O God. In your word, Jesus, we know that you have spoken so many things to each and every one of us, God. And I pray that your children may be strengthened today, God. We pray that we may encounter you, God, in our walk, God. That we may know that in everything that we do, God, you are with us. Never forsaking us, our God, but true to your word, that you will walk us through, Almighty God. Father, Lord, that we may know that even when trials and tribulations, when the enemy comes like a flood, God, you will raise us up above everything, God. For you are faithful and you are with us. Lord Jesus, give us the strength to step out, oh God, and be the light. Be the light of God. Father, you are so good. Be with the one that is discouraged, God. Be with the one that needs strengthening. Be with the one that needs hope, our God. Give them hope once again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Spirit of God. You are worthy, God. You are worthy, Jesus. Only you are worthy. And we thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you're here this evening and you just feel like you might have been going through it. You just need that assurance. You just need a prayer. You just need God to touch you and strengthen you to just continue fighting through, going through this walk of journey. I'm just going to invite you to the front. I'm just going to invite you to the front quickly. And we'll pray.
Thank you, God, for your word. Your word is indeed a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. Thank you for sending your word and healing us, God. You heal us with your word, God. We thank you, Lord. When you speak, there is order. There is order, and it's good. We bless you. We thank you in Jesus' name.